Hey, thanks, Dan and worship team. So like I said at the very beginning, I want to talk to you today about the subject of waiting. Now, this is inspired by a verse in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, "Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." So I want to share with you part of my life today. So going all the way back now to 2009, God taught me some lessons on waiting, and I still use these things that God taught me today. It's such a powerful lesson to me. And, you know, at that time, I was waiting for a new pastoral role. Eventually, my waiting did come to an end because I got a new job. But, you know, it took 18 months. And during those 18 months, boy, there was a lot of wrestling and there was a lot of processing. And can't we all relate to waiting in some way? I was thinking about how everybody is waiting for something, right? Waiting for a better job, perhaps, like I was at the time. Waiting for COVID to just end. Waiting for a relational conflict to be resolved in some way. Perhaps you're waiting to pay off your debt. We can wait for good things. Maybe you're waiting to go off to something that's new and exciting. But you're in that season. You're here now, and in the future there's something, and you're just waiting for it. And did you know that the Bible talks a lot about waiting? Let me give you a few examples. So Gideon and the Israelites, they were waiting for 7 years under the oppression of Midian. That's a long wait. We have the Israelites who were waiting for God to rescue them from Egyptian slavery for 400 years. David waited 15 years to become the king of Israel. Jesus is literally waiting right now for his second coming, right? I mean, that's a lot of waiting. And those are just a few examples that we have in the Bible. And in addition to these examples, the Bible instructs us to be patient and expectant as we wait. Let me show you two verses. Psalm 37:7 tells us, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." Here's the second verse, Psalm 5:3. "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." So back in 2009, I wanted to know, okay, how do I do that? How do I wait both patiently and expectantly? And the answer is this acronym that I want to show you right now. It's from the very word wait. So as we're waiting, we withstand temptation, we abide in Christ, we intercede regularly, and we trust God's sovereignty. If you can do these, you'll find yourself waiting with patience and an expectant heart, and your anxiety will just melt away. So let's go through these one at a time. As we're waiting, what does it look like to withstand temptation? Now, there are many common temptations that we face while we wait. We're tempted to doubt God's goodness, and people so often move into an attitude of despair. We're tempted to wallow in just the discouragement of that waiting season. Sometimes we're even tempted to escape the waiting with some sort of an action as we act out in a sinful way. Look, these are all common ways that people respond to their waiting, partly because it's common for people to feel like I'm getting left behind as they wait. And I was just looking through history and found a couple of interesting examples. Did you know that Alfred Hitchcock made his most famous movies from the ages of 54 and 61? So, I mean, he waited almost his entire career until he did that. And then here's another really fascinating one. Did you know that it wasn't until the age of 42 that Soichiro Honda, after being an auto mechanic for 2 decades, put a motor on a bicycle and founded the Honda Motor Company? And then it was not until 15 years later they made their first car. I mean, think about how long he waited for that. Waiting is common, guys. It's common in life for all of us. And please just listen to me for a moment. You're not getting left behind as you wait. Look, God has you. He's watching over you. And the Apostle Paul gives us a verse that's very helpful because it shifts our perspective as we're waiting and as we're withstanding temptation. This verse is in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This is such an encouraging verse to us, isn't it? That literally God is saying to us in this verse, he's assuring us that when we are tempted, he is faithfully with us, and he is providing a way out, a way of escape for us. So look, you don't have to give in to those temptations. You don't have to just yield to it. You're stronger than the temptation, in fact. Think about that. You're stronger than that temptation. Now, the second letter in the acrostic tells us why you're stronger than that, and it's the letter A. It's abide in Christ. This comes directly from John 15, verse 5. Jesus is speaking. He says to us, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This is such an important verse when we find ourselves being frustrated with God's timing. See, Jesus is saying, okay, remind yourself that Jesus is present tense, giving you everything you need. Remind yourself of that truth. See, abide is the Greek word meno. It literally means dwell. It could mean be present, to continue. So you are like this branch that's connected to the main trunk of the vine. And abiding, it doesn't mean you actually have to do a lot. It literally just means you stay connected in your thoughts and with your heart. Now, so here's an easy way to understand what abiding means. Abiding is the extension cord that stays connected to the outlet when you plug it in. That's abiding. So if you apply that then to how Jesus says abide in him, here's what that would mean. You had to get connected to Jesus at some point in your past. It's a once done commitment that never is undone. And that happens when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you become a Christian. Now, as we live out our life, you simultaneously do nothing to stay connected, but you keep yourself in your thoughts and in your heart from leaving and starting to imagine things and letting your thoughts just go in dangerous and unhelpful ways. See, you're receiving his love, you're receiving his grace, you're receiving his regeneration, and you're literally understanding the gospel in your thoughts and in your hearts throughout the days. You're listening to the voice of Jesus. You're thinking about what he says. So often, we neglect this connection that we have to Jesus while we're waiting because we start running through like problem-solving scenarios in our minds. You probably know about that. Well, if I do this and then I do this, then this. Right? We keep talking to our friends about all the things we're waiting on. Right, that just stirs it up within us, and then our friends get all stirred up, and then it kind of feeds onto the whole fire of it all. Or we even let our thoughts start dreaming about some better version of a future, and then our hearts start to get connected to that future. But those are the wrong ways to deal with our waiting, guys. And you see how it gets our minds and our hearts all engaged in it. And what Jesus was saying in John 15, when we are abiding in Christ, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus is giving us everything we need in this present moment. And we just like receive that from him. That's what it means to abide in Christ. Now, let's go to the third one. Intercede regularly. Intercede is just a fancy word for prayer, but the word prayer didn't work in my acrostic, so I'd use intercede. So there you go. Let me just show you in Psalm 57. This is a beautiful prayer of David. Remember, I mentioned earlier that David had to wait 15 years to become the king. God told him he was going to become the king, but he had a long period of waiting in between. And part of that waiting season involved the current king, King Saul, trying to hunt and kill King David for nothing that David had done wrong. So he's on the run, he's in a cave, and Psalm 57 is a prayer that he prayed to God as he was waiting. And it's such a beautiful example of how to intercede regularly as we wait. Let me just read to you the first three verses, starting in verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills my purposes for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Isn't that great? As David was waiting in a cave, being hunted, he turned to God with more prayer. See, when you intercede regularly, here's what you're doing. You're pouring out your heart to God. You're listening to God speak to you in the silence. You're confessing your sinful desires. You're thanking him for his presence, and you're clinging to the truth that we just talked about. As you abide in Christ, he's giving you everything you need in this moment. So intercede and intercede more. See, God is using your waiting to develop you. It, just like muscles need to be put under stress in order to grow stronger, so it is with our character. And God will use the stretching. He'll use the stressors in our life to strengthen us. He wants us to be utterly and completely dependent on him. He wants to refine our motives so that we're consumed with him as our number one obsession in life. And, you know, this won't happen unless we face stressors in life. And waiting just happens to be one of the most common stressors we face in life. It's common to everybody throughout time. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "I am sure that God keeps no one waiting unless he sees that it is good for him to wait. Eventually, you'll find that the long wait has done you some kind of good which you would not have had otherwise." Now, by interceding regularly, you put yourself into the position to literally just get everything out of this season of waiting, right? So you're maximizing the strengthening that God wants to develop you during this time. You redeem this difficulty by cooperating with the work of sanctification that God wants to do in your heart. So don't go through your times of waiting as a victim. You're not like a leaf that just has to get blown by the circumstances of life and it just takes you wherever and then you're just a mess. Instead, intercede regularly and experience a deeper connection with God and see how he'll develop you and grow you. That's intercede regularly. And here's the last one. Trust God's sovereignty. Daniel 4 is a great description of how God sovereignly rules over everything in this universe. That's what God's sovereignty means. Let me read these verses for you, starting in verse 34. "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing." And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay your hand or say to him, what have you done? Now, here's what I have found. Whenever I'm waiting on something, there's a tendency for my mind to start asking questions. One question is God really in charge here in this situation right now? And the second question is, should I take control of this situation and bring a resolution to this? Well, Daniel 4 is one of hundreds of examples in the Bible that tell us the answers. Yes, God is in control, and no, I should not try to take control of it in my own abilities and power. I can simply trust God's sovereignty. There's nothing that he is not ruling over in this world. Nothing. And there's tremendous freedom in this. Like, we don't need to bear the weight of the world. We don't need to bear the responsibility to bring our ending to an end. Instead, we're given this privilege to just let God bear the weight. Like, trust him. He is sovereign. He always has a plan. And all he says is, will you trust me? I love this verse from Proverbs chapter 3, where we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So trust him. And there you have it. Four practical tips to help you wait with both patience and high expectancy, withstand temptation, abide in Christ, intercede regularly, and trust in God's sovereignty. I hope this helps you. Like I was saying earlier, we're all waiting on something. And maybe it's just a burden that you've been carrying for so, so long, and you're feeling weary. I hope that this helps lighten your load today. I don't know all of the things that you're dealing with as you wait, but I do know that God sees you, that he loves you, and he is working a plan in your life. So why don't we just conclude our worship service today by praying together? Would you bow your heads? And let's lift our hearts and our voices up to God. So God, we have come now this morning and we've worshiped you in song. We've exalted you and we've just declared we love you. We're so grateful that you loved us first. And so now as we conclude this worship service, we just want to say thank you for being with us during the waiting. Thank you for strengthening us during these times of waiting in our lives. And we ask that you will work deeply in our lives and our hearts, change us to look more and more like Jesus as we wait. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.